So I've decided to teach my favorite passage today. So if you could go ahead and turn to John 21 and starting in verse 15. I'm going to go ahead and read it, and then I'll pray to start us off. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." So he said to him, "Feed my lambs." And he said to him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you that when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And he said, when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Dear God, I just want to thank you so much for bringing us all here and gathering us together to just sit and worship you, Lord, and to learn about you and hear what you have to speak to us today. I pray that as we go into this lesson, that you would just open up our eyes to exactly what you have for each of us individually and to your plan for us, Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so a little bit of background on this passage. During my gap year program in California, I was able to hear tons of speakers, as well as I got to go to a few of my friends' churches around the area whenever we had breaks off the mountain. And so during that 1 year, I heard this sermon preached 4 separate times. And each time, there are so many more things I continue to learn and get out of it. One of the times that I got to hear it, we got the opportunity to go to Israel. We actually got to go to Tabgha, which is the place where this passage is believed to have taken place, right there on the Sea of Galilee. Over time, this has become my favorite passage, and it's helped me through some very hard times of depression and dealing with regret regarding my past. I think the biggest reason that I love this passage is that it's so relatable. It shows Peter in this very human state, where he sees himself as unworthy and he's full of regret. So before we look at the passage itself, it's important to look at the context. So if we look at John 13, starting in verse 36, we can see where Peter begins letting his pride start to show. And it says, "Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, where are you going?' Jesus answered him, 'Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward.' Peter said to him, 'Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake.' Jesus answered him, 'Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me 3 times. Here we see Peter's pride. He says that he's going to lay down his life for Jesus, but yet Jesus turns down that prideful comment and says instead, Peter's going to deny him 3 times, all before the rooster crows. In Matthew 26, verse 35, Peter responds and tells Jesus that he would rather die before denying him. But it turns out that Peter let his pride get in the way of what Jesus was telling him. So if we turn a little bit farther ahead in John, to John 18, starting in verse 16, it says, "But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, 'You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?' He said, 'I am not.' Now the servants and officer who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself." So this is the first of the 3 denials that Jesus told Peter was going to happen. Something important to note here was the kind of fire that the officers made. It is a fire of coals. It's something to take note of for later. It'll come up in the passage that we're looking at today. Just a few verses down from here, still in John 18, into verse 25, it says, "Now Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again, and immediately the rooster crowed. Here, Jesus' humbling of Peter came to pass, despite all of that prideful confidence that he held before. When we read the event in Matthew 26, verse 75, it says that Peter immediately remembers what Jesus had said, and he went out and wept bitterly. This sets us up for where we're going today. So if we go ahead and go back to John 21, and starting in verse 3, Peter says that he's going to go fishing with some of the other disciples. And if we remember, before Jesus called Peter to become one of his disciples, Peter was a fisherman. He spent 3 years with Jesus, listening to his teachings and walking with him. But instead of going out and teaching when Jesus had died, Peter went back exactly to what he knew. It shows Peter doubting himself, but not only doubting himself, but doubting God. In the verses to follow, leading up to the passage we're going to look today, Jesus comes to the shore and he asks them if they have any food. Because the disciples had not caught any fish yet, they say no. Then Jesus tells them to cast their nets on the other side of the boat. This would have been a very weird request to the fishermen. Fishermen usually fish at night because the water is cooler and the fish will come up. But at this point, it would have been morning and things would have been warming up and there would have been less fish. Jesus also told them to put their nets on the other side of the boat. When I was in Israel, I learned that on the Sea of Galilee, people travel in a specific direction around the edge because of some superstitions that the Jewish people have with water. And so they'll travel in one direction, which means when Jesus told them to throw their nets on the other side of the boat, that would have been deeper water than where they were casting it before. And their fishing nets are meant to be laid down on the bottom of the lake, and the fish would swim into the nets, and then they would pull it up. If they threw it into the deeper water, the fish have the chance to be able to swim right under it, and they aren't able to catch as many fish. So this would have all been very strange for Jesus to request this of them. But they did it anyways. They threw the nets over on the other side, and to their surprise, they couldn't draw the nets in because there were so many fish. Peter immediately realizes that this is Jesus, so he puts on his outer garments, and he jumps in the water to swim back to shore. In verse 9, we see that Jesus had created a fire with breakfast already ready for the disciples. So if you look at this verse, you can see that the type of fire here is a fire of coals. This is an important type of fire because it's only mentioned twice in the entire Bible. The first was back when Peter was denying Jesus, and the second is here. This type of fire is really specific. It has a very distinct smell, and at the time, it would have been very expensive to make, so there would have been no way that the fishermen would have been using this fire, and it was why, in the courtyard of the high priest, that's where it was, because the high priest would have had lots of money. So the smell itself would have likely brought back those denials at that fire back into Peter's mind fresh. And it sets us up really well to dive into the actual passage, knowing that at this moment, Peter would have been seeing Jesus again and remembering those three denials. So if we look at starting at verse 15, we can read it. It says, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' So he said to him, 'Feed my lambs.'" We know that Peter struggled with pride and said he would never betray Jesus. So here, when Jesus asks him if he loves him, then Peter would have wanted to try to heal that wound from that denial. But instead, this is salt in that wound. And Peter felt unworthy of showing Jesus that love. If we look at the Greek, the word that Jesus uses for love is agapeo, or agape. It's an unconditional love. It's that same love that Jesus showed by dying on the cross for our sins. Peter, instead, uses a different word. He uses the word phileo. And phileo is a brotherly love, the kind of love you would have for a best friend or for a sibling. Peter isn't using this word because he doesn't want to tell Jesus that he loves him unconditionally, but rather he feels unworthy of being able to love Jesus to that level because of the denials beforehand. For me, throughout high school, over and over again, I chose to ignore where God was guiding me, and I chose my own path instead, and made my own mostly poor choices. And yet I see over and over again how God has blessed me and how he has come back to me and shown me his love. Because of the choices that I make that don't honor him and the sin that I choose over the love he's given me, I often feel like I'm not worthy enough to accept that love that he's offering me. And yet here, God is, over and over again, offering that same agape love to me. An unconditional love that doesn't require anything from me, and that feeling is amazing. The end of the verse, Jesus responds to him by saying, "Feed my lambs." So instead of getting upset with Peter, or saying, condemning Peter, he, for not responding with that same kind of agape love, or for the denials in the first place, he gave Peter a job. He, at this point, Peter doesn't feel worthy enough to even tell Jesus that he loves him unconditionally. So being given a responsibility from Jesus would have likely seemed like a lot. But despite all that, Jesus had a plan for Peter. And he knew that he was prepared and worthy for that job, so he gave it to him without hesitation. Then immediately after this, Jesus repeats himself. In verse 16, it says, "He said to him a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' So he said to him, 'Tend my sheep.'" Again, this verse, Jesus uses that word agape for love. And again, Peter responds with phileo. Even after Jesus had given him a job, he still feels unworthy to say that he unconditionally loves Jesus. So, Jesus again offers him a job. He has a plan for him, even though he doesn't feel like he deserves it. Then we see the third time that Jesus asks this question, and Peter gives the same response. Although this time, there's going to be two differences that are very large differences from the first two times. If we look at verse 17, we can see them. "He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" So the first difference in this is Peter's reaction to the question. It says here that Peter is grieved, and that's in the New King James Version. In the New Living Translation, it says that he was hurt. In the original Greek, the word there is lupeo, which most directly translates to sorrowful. Remember that Peter is now sitting next to the expensive fire with a unique and memorable spell. He would rarely have experienced this fire, so he'd be remembering those denials. Three times, Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" And three times, Peter had denied Jesus. Peter would have likely realized this and been feeling an even deeper sorrow because of that. Yet, still through that grief, Peter is given a job by Jesus. And that leads us kind of to the second difference. The third time Jesus asks this question, he doesn't use the word agape like he did the first two times. Instead, he uses that same word that Peter was using. He says that he phileos him. This, along with the fact that Jesus gave Peter a job, shows just how deep Jesus' love for Peter goes, despite those denials. By saying phileo instead of agape, Jesus is coming down and meeting Peter exactly where he is. He's not expecting Peter to do anything or come and meet him up at that level of unconditional love. Instead, he comes down and meets Peter right where he's at. It's also important to notice that not once in the whole passage does Jesus condemn Peter. Does he scold Peter, or does he ask Peter to apologize for the denials. He comes to Peter in love every time. Through this passage, Jesus is redeeming Peter. Even at Peter's lowest point, having denied Jesus, abandoned what he was taught, and going back to his old life where he felt safe and comfortable, Jesus still loved him so much that he'd come back to him, completely forgive him without a request of apology, and gave him a job to do, to take care of the followers of Christ, who we know later would be known as Christians. I know how often in my life I feel so unworthy of Jesus' forgiveness, so undeserving. Yet, instead of Jesus expecting me to do all of these things to try to fix myself and become better, he comes down and meets me exactly where I'm at, exactly where I need him the most. And even if I don't understand the plan that he has for me, through all my failures over and over again, Jesus gives me a job to do. And so if we look at the last two verses, verse 18 and 19, it says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." So after this whole, this here is a glimpse into Peter's future death. By telling Peter this, it shows that Jesus knows the bigger picture. So at the end, no matter what, we know that Jesus can see a bigger picture than we can. Even if we don't feel deserving at the time, we don't know why God would choose us for certain things, we can see that he actually does have the bigger picture, and we don't. So he ends the conversation with one request to Peter, and that is, "Follow me." Simple instructions, just to follow Christ. If we look at the verses below, just after this whole conversation, we can kind of see Peter's response to Jesus' call to follow him. Peter turns around and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who had also leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." So this whole interaction with Jesus just happened. And once again, Peter goes back and shows his pride. Instead of taking that forgiveness that Jesus was offering him and simply following that plan that Jesus had just given him, Peter does another very human thing, and he begins to compare himself to one of the other disciples. Here we know that this other disciple was actually John, who's the author of this gospel. Jesus says, "What is it to you? You follow me." Jesus is telling Peter something very important. It doesn't matter how others choose to live or what they're called to do. Each of us is given our own specific job from Christ. We don't need to compare ourselves to them. Time and time again, I know that I fall into this struggle. I'm falling into sin, and I'm repeatedly going back to those same struggles. I'm like that fool talked about in Proverbs 26, verse 11, the one who's like a dog who goes back to his vomit. And each time, God comes down and redeems me. But I still turn and look after he just picks me up. He redeems me, and then I turn and I look at other people and I say, "Well, what about him?" I try to compare myself to them. Well, I'm not as good as them, or I can do this better than them. And it's this whole game of comparing myself to other people. And here, Jesus is reminding me it doesn't matter what they're doing or what I've called them to. Follow me. Do what you have, what I have called you to do. And so we are simply called to keep our eyes on him and follow his path. Paul reiterates this in 1 Corinthians 12. He likens the church to a body. And just like how in our own bodies, each part of our body has a different job, we, as believers, play different parts in God's plan. If you're called to be an ear, you shouldn't be worried about what the nose is doing. Instead, you need to do your job that God has given you so that the whole body can function the way it's supposed to. So in closing, if there's anything you take away from today, it's that God loves you so much that he sent his only son for you to die on the cross, be resurrected 3 days later, so that you can be washed from your sins and redeemed, just like Peter was. You can be granted eternal life through that redemption and that salvation. Remember that God doesn't ask you to be perfect or to fix yourself or to do all these different works. Instead, he's willing to come and meet you exactly where you're at. All you need to do is follow him. If you're here today or you're watching online and you haven't asked Jesus into your life to become your Savior, it's as simple as A, B, C. A is admit. Admit what you've done wrong and ask for forgiveness. Admit that you're a sinner and you need that forgiveness. In Romans 6:23, it says the wages of sin is death. And in Romans 3:23, it says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Each one of us is a sinner. B is believe. You just need to believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross and rose again as a payment for your sins. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not die, but have everlasting life." And then C, confess and choose to allow God to be in charge of your life. We see in, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So you simply just need to confess and choose to follow him. That's the one thing Jesus asked Peter to do, was to follow him. So that's all you need to do. Admit, believe, and choose. I'm going to go ahead and pray to close us out. Dear God, I thank you so much for all of your children you've brought here today, Lord, and I pray that you would just remind them that they are redeemed and that you love them so much. No matter what it is they do, you always are there to pick them up again, Lord, with an unconditional and unfailing love. Thank you for meeting us exactly where we're at, so that we don't have to do all of these extra things to come to you, Lord. We just need to simply believe in you and ask you to be a part of our life. I pray that you would give us the strength as we go out this week to choose to follow you, Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.